Sentinel online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello, and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TF Joan Mike, and I'm joined by Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Pecan Court Michael. Today, oh, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm screwed up a little bit. Yeah, do your little catchphrase thing again.
I can't now.
Just now say it.
You've derailed my train.
Just say it already.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, and today we will be reviewing the first three episodes from Beast Wars Season 3. I've had some things going on in my personal life that I really don't want to bring into this show because it just doesn't... It's probably going to be a headshot, and it most definitely will be a very lengthy, probably over a 1,000-word blog post.
I saw yes. Money in that post.
Yes. So I will bring up the positives. I got War for Cybertron for the PC. Been playing it, kind of getting pissed at it because I keep dying, even on the easy level.
Are you serious?
Yes. I suck.
How does
I am. But see, the thing is, I'm a button masher, and first of all, I play video games with just my left hand. So on the computer, I have to go between the mouse and the keyboard, So it's like, I can do it, and I can play it. It's just, it's one of those things where it's difficult. Let's just say it's difficult at the least. So I did get War for Cybertron for the PC. I love it so far. No problems with it. I really don't care. I'm actually more interested in the story of the game than actually having an exclusive character to play as, because I don't play online multiplayer. I also picked up X-Men Volume 5 for completing my X-Men DVD collection. Let's see, Lupus Convoy sent me a package in the mail with two RCs. Yay, I now have RC.
Hey, he rocks.
Yes, he does, very much so. And this toy, wow, yeah. It's kind of like Rodimus, where it's like, where'd the car go?
It drove away.
Yes.
You may have gotten the last two in the world, too.
So. No, I don't think so. And when people say that she has amazing light piping, that is an understatement of the year. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, you said she has piping?
No. Light piping. Get your mind out of the gutter, Megatron.
Lay in some pipe.
Yes. Oh, see? Show me what you got.
Oh my god. So Steve, what's been going on with you?
Okay. Currently right now I am working on certain things for the GCR, like hats, shirts, whatnot. Also I'm working on something possible project between us and behind the voice actors. So, which I will not name yet because I don't know if they want that public. So,
okay.
But yes, that is what I've been doing.
Awesome. What about you, Michael?
Buying toys.
You mean stealing them?
No, I didn't steal anything. I got in there apparently after they restocked. So they as in Target. I wrote a blog post about this. Everybody should have read it by now. Go read my blog post, damn it. but yeah, I bought a lot of toys, and I called Chrissy ahead of time and said, you know, hey, they have all the new toys here at Target. Can I buy them? And she's like, well, she just spent a buttload of money. So she's like, well, you know, let's reciprocate a little bit. I just spent a bunch of money. Go ahead and buy them. So I said, all right. Yeah, I got like 9 deluxes and then the 2 power core combiner 5-packs. And then after that, I went back like a couple days later over to Toys R Us and got the rest of the power core combiners, the first wave. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I bought a whole lot of toys and as opposed to letting them pile up in where the pile used to be, I'm actually opening them, playing with them a little bit.
Oh my god, a first! Michael Wilson actually opens toys before opening, 4 years from now!
I know, opening my toys, and the ones I opened first actually were the power core combiners. And these guys are so cool. You know, there's a lot of play value here with the, you know, the fact that their minicons become weapons for the vehicle, weapons for the robot, armor for the robot, and little robots themselves. So they finally got minicons right, you know, after I don't know how many years since Armada. You know, and now we've got minicons that just do everything. They're like super uber minicons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I dig it. Even the minicons have minicon ports on them. It's insane, so you can like combine your minicons.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, but I dig it. I would recommend everyone go out and get them. Even if you don't want to.
Do it. Do it now.
Do it now.
No, thanks.
Get to the chopper.
I like the fact that they are playing up the whole kid angle for having more towards kids as far as the power core combiners, but I do not want them anywhere near my collection.
Well, really? Seriously?
Yeah. I don't dislike them, and I don't hate them like I hate the movie line, but at the same time, I don't like them either.
Aside from the movie line, there's not a whole lot left. I mean, they have Generations, but honestly,
but Generations is going to be epic.
Generation started off nice. I've got the War for Cybertron Prime, the War for Cybertron Bumblebee. I got Thrust, Autobot Drift, and honestly, I think that's
it for now.
Exactly. So I mean, aside from the Power Core combiners and the movie line, what else is there?
Mm.
There's not a whole lot. I mean, they're going to have more coming, you know, at the end of the year toward Christmas.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole heck of a lot going on Transformers-wise if you don't like Power Core combiners. And they're already releasing pictures of, like, Wave 2 and Wave 3. And, you know, it's mostly repaints, but they're doing it interesting. They're taking the – they're repainting, you know, the commanders that they have, and they're swapping their minicons and repainting those. And then, like, the 5-pack, you know, you've got the Combaticons and you've got the aerial bots. They're taking the general or the commander or whatever from the center of the body, right, the one that actually turns into a robot, and mm-hmm. they're pulling them out of the package and making them their own 2-pack commander, if that makes sense. So they won't come with limbs anymore, but they're going to be repaints. So, I mean, they're really... Yeah, I think they probably put an awful lot of thought into, you know, how many limbs do we put in there, who gets limbs, who doesn't have limbs, 2-packs versus 5-packs, you know, because, I mean, they're literally dismantling the 5-packs and then repainting them and putting them back out as 2-packs.
Yeah, I could care less. It's like I said, I don't hate them, I'm just not interested. whatsoever. I mean, it doesn't appeal to me at all. I've seen several video reviews, mostly from Spada, and I don't care.
Huh. Sure, I mean, they're not movie line, and like I said, there's a lot of play value. I dig it. I think they're great.
Have you, Mr. Wilson, listened to episode 15 yet?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Did you find anything interesting in episode 15 of the Beast Unleashed podcast?
You mean at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, well, actually, if you're talking about the recap, that was like the funniest thing ever.
I'm talking about the whole recap episode because of the outtakes.
Yeah, no, I mean, at the end, there's the outtakes, and it was hilarious. I laughed so hard. I mean, you don't realize how much funny shit we say until you take all the funny shit out and line it up in a row. I mean,
yeah. Well, see, hilarious. I did that specifically. I wrote out the order for Steve to edit it, and I did it specifically. I tried to have like me say something, you say something, and him say something, and vice versa. So it's like a whole we're actually having a conversation.
Yeah. out of context, it's a little strange, you know, because it's like, what the hell? Why would I say that? That makes no sense. But yeah, it was hilarious. It was really funny.
The reason why I asked you about that is in the episode 15 post over on ProtoconEmpire.com/Nexus, Godspeed replied to the episode 15 thread saying, good show, love the host clips at the end, LOL. And Godspeed actually asked us a question for this podcast. Hey guys, love the show. I know you don't get the feedback you deserve, so for what it's worth, I say this is always one of the first listens for me every time it comes out. The chemistry is always good for a laugh or two, and the Barney bit just kills me. Anyway, my question is, what do you expect from Hasbro now that they have publicly acknowledged an interest in revisiting the Beast Wars, remakes, new figures, with beast modes unrelated to Beast Wars? Thanks for your time, and keep up the good work. Godspeed. Now, I did reply to him on the forum saying that we would answer the question. However, we're not going to go into great detail about it because we are an episode at the end of this podcast's lifespan will be dedicated to nothing but the Beast Era toys. So, Michael, what do you think about the Hasbro acknowledging they're still interested in Beast Wars?
First of all, I think it would be terribly cool, again, if we got an X9 toy. If Hasbro's going to do anything with the Beast Wars, that should be, you know, job one. You know they're not going to do that. The first thing they're going to do is probably re-release the 10th anniversary toys, the ones that were repaints of the 1996 line, and repaint them in their Japanese colors.
Mm. Yeah, I could imagine them doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Because when they came out a few years back, we got them and we looked at them and said, wow, these look really good. And then Japan got them and re-repainted them, and they looked amazing. Not just really good, but like, oh my god, I want to import them. So the first thing Hasbro is going to do is they're going to think about re-releasing those. Which again, this is going to end up being a 15-year-old toy that they're re-releasing in a paint job that's already been done in Japan. They could go that route. They might try to re-release them in two packs, you know, like versus sets. You know, each guy has their own nemesis. You know, you've got Rat Trap and Tarantulas and that type of thing. So they might try to re-release them like that. I could see that happening. Of course, they're going to re-release the leader size toys and yet another paint job. I've already got enough of those. I don't think I need any more. And yes, then, and again, what I would really like to see is an X9 toy. Maybe, I don't know if Steve was going to say this, but I would say like an Axelon playset.
That would be definitely be something I'd want to see, including like stasis pods, the Predacon base.
Big accessories?
Any of the little equipment that they used in the show, I would say would be a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hell, have a custom Waspinator that has, you know, Starscream's you know, something with Starscream on it. I mean, I know that's not much of a stretch from the regular Waspinator, but I mean, or, you know, have some more accurate toys, for instance, because a lot of them weren't very show accurate till they at least hit transmetal.
That would be the last thing I would expect. Anything in a remold.
Yeah, but I mean, I would still, I would want to see figures that we haven't been able to get thus far.
Yeah, yeah.
Ravage would definitely be one of them. Maybe, I don't know. There's just there's a lot of missed opportunities that they could have done the first time around that they did not do.
My only problem with Ravage, if they're going to use an existing mold, I think, and this is just speculation on my part, I think they would repaint the Universe 2.0 Cheetor as Ravage.
I'm still not entirely sure what the difference is between X9 and the Transmetal Cheetor.
The head.
Just the head?
I'm pretty sure it's just the head.
You think and the hands. Yeah, you'd think it would be easy to produce something like that, though.
That I would think would be relatively cheap to produce. I think just because it was like a BotCon, you know, kind of set it. You know, that's right. Why I didn't have it here. Well,
if they made repaints for BotCon, you know Hasbro has the rights to it somehow. They could do it.
They just don't want to.
They just want to screw us all over and make us squirm. Another neat thing would be, I want to say that during the course of our, you know, podcast here, every time there's a paint deco in the show that we've never seen before, we go, oh my god, wouldn't it be awesome if they made that paint deco? Like when Black Arachnia took over the floating island.
Or Rhinox becoming Pride.
Exactly. Yeah, things like that. I mean, you know, little nods to the fans. They probably wouldn't sell well enough to justify banking or actually producing them. But, you know, still, some of those
problem,
jobs look really good.
True. The problem is, and I read this on TFW, I think it was part of the TFCon Hasbro answer and question and answer thing. Because as of this recording, TFCon was this past weekend. Someone asked them about, do they talk to fans directly about toy design? And they said, we do not get unsolicited feedback or anything from fans as far as making toys. We can say as much as we want that we want a figure of it. Unless it's like a public vote that they put out on their website, we're not going to see it.
Unless but the David fact Willis. That Dinobot made the Hall of Fame shows that people still give a rat's ass about Beast Wars.
Well, true, and I'm not saying that people... I mean, I love Beast Wars. I love Beast Machines. Now that I know what they are and all that stuff, sorry. I know.
I love judicious use of mute.
Yeah. I know. Hey, I've been places over the last day and a half since we've been recording this that just I never want to ever go again. And I'm sitting here drinking Diet Coke and eating Mike and Ike's. Deal with it.
Places that cause me not to be able to hit the mute button.
Anyways. Let's move. Are we done with this? I hope that answered Godspeed's question.
In other words, we'll discuss more details later, but for now, let's get to the show.
Silver Bolt, what?
Well, that's just prime.
Oh, what's left of them anyway? Oh!
He's our ancestor. We gotta get him repaired. Or we're goners.
We'll never make it. His spark is already joining the Matrix. With the repair trauma, we'll lose it for sure.
Then we'll have to move it.
His spark can't exist outside a living body?
I know.
What are you, nuts? You can't hold two sparks in your body?
This spark has the Matrix with it. It's too powerful.
Like we have a choice?
First up today in episode 16, as we start the final season of Beast Wars here, is Optimal Situation. The original air date was October 24th, 1998. It was written by Bob Forward. The Maximals are unconscious as the time stream begins to unravel, a direct result of Megatron attacking the original Optimus Prime in his dormant state. Optimus Primal attempts to merge Prime Spark into his own, keeping it safe while Rhinox performs surgery. But the extra soul is too much for Primal to handle, and his body undergoes a startling transformation. Dun dun dun! Okay, first of all, I gotta say, this is probably, outside of the other, like, possession and the agenda, this has got to be the most fan-wanky episode of the entire Beast Wars series, the three seasons.
Yes, Primal looks up at Prime and says, "Hello, give me your spark."
My first note was, yay, new title sequence!
Yes, and in my opinion, this is the best one yet.
Oh, yes.
With the intro?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the intro borrowed a little more from season 2 than season 3. I think I would have liked to have seen more of some season 3 stuff going on in the intro to foreshadow what's to come.
Well, and they did. They had a little bit, but they actually, I liked how they started it off with the very first episode of Beast Wars. Granted, this was a awesome reimagining of that first episode part with much better detail. But they did a good job with having it kind of transition from season 1, 2 to 3 throughout the intro.
Yeah. No, it was very well done. I liked it. I was surprised to see it at first, and I don't see why, because it's a new season, but it was like, hey, new intro. Cool.
My biggest thing that I love about this is Optimal Optimus at the end. Before the Beast Wars type shows up. I love that. That's so awesome. So technically, Black Arachnia is Predacon no more.
Well, she keeps saying, "I'm a Predacon. I'm a Predacon."
Yet she keeps helping the Maximals.
And she's and nobody seems to question that she's helping. It's not like, "Hey, isn't she a bad guy? What's her deal over here?" I mean, Rat Trap brings it up, and you know, Silverbolt promptly shuts him down, but yeah, it's like, is anybody but Rat Trap, who does nothing but complain, mention anything about the bad lady who seems to be doing all, you know, wandering in and out of places she shouldn't be? And
yeah,
I think it would have been good to bring that up somehow.
Yeah, I guess we could say it's a lack of story, but
well, I mean, they're eventually gonna make her a Maximal anyway.
True.
But so maybe this could just be considered foreshadowing.
Yeah, it could be. Well, that's just Prime. Or what's left of him anyways. Doh!
He didn't look nearly as torn up as what I thought he would. I was expecting to see, like, exposed teeth under his faceplate or something.
That was horrific. Whoa. Primal, okay, we all know of the Transformers Star Wars crossover toys, correct? This is where Transformers and Star Wars crossover in universes, because Primal using the Force to open Prime's chest. What the fuck?
He's like, open sesame.
I thought Black Arachnia was plugged into Prime, or at least plugged into the
Teletran.
Plugged into the Teletran, but more precisely, plugged into the repair diagnostics.
Well, she was, but in that scene, Primal has his hand above Prime's chest, and he pulls his hand back, and the thing opens. It's like he willed it to open. He was using the Force. Just go with it, dude.
May the Schwartz be with you.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
But is it as powerful? I don't think so.
It's not the size of the Schwartz. It's how you use it.
Yes, there should be some sort of godly music with my next note. Ah, Matrix!
I like how they pulled the Matrix out and like that whole scene where Primal's holding it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden his chest opens up and then he gets like, you know, power bombed with it.
Yeah.
In his stomach.
Yep.
It's like a, it's like, I want to give myself a Matrix Hadouken.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking Matrix Bukkake, but yeah, okay. That works too.
And then he starts groaning until he like starts mutating.
A reverse Bukkake.
Yes, and then he becomes Prime Time.
A Prime Bukkake.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to have to explain to you people what Bukkake is, and that's just not somewhere I want to be. So
yeah, we're not going to go there for this show. And in regards to Steve's bringing up Optimus mutating or transforming or whatever he's doing, Rut-Row Optimus, because yeah, I just find it easier to take bullet point notes for me. I don't know why.
Did you notice that now? Yeah, you're calling.
No. I've intentionally done it since TFG1. But anyways, Optimal Optimus. Yes.
Yes.
I like how Cheetor asks him, you know, how do you feel, Big Bot? And he stands up all of a sudden. You know, he was this crouched over guy, and now he's like four times the size he once was. And he's like, in a word, Prime. And then he just stands up and like slams his foot down. And then, of course, Megatron has to interrupt shit with his bestest buddy in the world, Inferno.
His bestest
buddy. Who's quite, you know, hollow-looking at this point, considering you can see through part of his head.
Yeah, you know, he really should have died. I was kind of... I mean, I could see Rampage, and Rampage looked cool. They actually cut over to reintroduce each of the minions, let's say, the Predacons. Yes. And, you know, Inferno's stumbling out. Rampage is, you know, Crispy Critter. The damage model on him was insane. He was completely crumpled and just black. It was very cool. And, you know, considering the fact that he can't die and that he had a missile the size of a house dropped on him, the damage model looked pretty appropriate.
And it was atomic.
Exactly. But no, they should have left Inferno dead.
So Japan wasn't the first one to see the nuclear bomb.
Take out your own trash, Akihito.
Was that another bullet point, or was that actually?
No, that's a that's called an autonym from Al April, as a traveling comedian. He takes the first letter of. Like Toyota, take out your own trash, Akihito. Or today, Oriental yuppies often thank America. Makes a sentence out of car names. Anyway, that's completely off the wall here. One of the reasons
I'm glad you explained that to me, because now it's funny.
Yes.
in quite so many ways.
I forgot, with this episode, I forgot to grab my buddy that Michael sent to me. I forgot to grab Optimal Optimus to have on the desk with me while we're recording season 3 episodes.
Oh, he's going to watch TV with you.
My buddy. My buddy.
Like plays with his buddy.
But anyway... Oh, God. God, Silverbolt, you're such a bonehead at times. And that was in reference to the whole thinking she was dead thing. Silverbolt.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Slot. Yeah.
And then he's like, she's just in stasis lock. Dipshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, dumbass. Well, what I thought was interesting is there's actually two no's. So you get double the cliche in this episode.
Yes. The look on Megatron's dino face is priceless when Transform Up shows up. He's like, huh?
Okay.
What?
I'm sorry. It sounded like somebody was rolling over in bed there, and I didn't catch what you were saying.
Oh, what I said was, it's probably Steve. What I said was, I love the look on Megatron's dino face as they're flying away, because when it's just priceless when transformed Optimal Optimus shows up. He's like, huh?
Oh, It's like, how many forms does this guy have? What?
Oh, no, just wait. Stay close, Maximals. It's time to transform and roll out. I love that. That's just so awesome.
You know what Megatron was really thinking in that scene?
Tell us, Megatron.
Good Lord. That Autobot Maximal Hybrid learns a new body faster than tarantulas could crap out spiders.
I always wondered where those spiders came from.
They came from Tarantulas' rear end.
Oh no!
Did you notice why his tires were splattered open?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, when Primal turns into Prime, basically, he adopts all of his catchphrases.
Yeah.
Starting with, freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
You know, still, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go back and watch my G1 Shout Factory set, because I do not ever remember him saying that in the cartoon.
It doesn't. It's on the back of his package.
Oh.
That's on his tech spec.
Yeah, his motto on the tech spec says, freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
Okay.
I don't think he actually ever says it.
In the movies, he does.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, in what, the Bayformer
movie? That doesn't count.
Yes.
Oh, well, he says it there because, you know, at that point, everybody knows it's attributed to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so you get freedom is the right of all sentient beings. You get transform and roll out. I enjoyed it, but yeah, it was fan winking.
Well, yeah, but that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
The only thing was, is they still didn't get that, I mean, technically they made it look like Prime's spark is the Matrix, when technically that's not true.
True.
And technically Prime, although they never showed it until the movie, the Matrix was never even known about.
Yeah, that's true, but... Still, they had to find a good way to introduce it with this, and I thought it was fairly done well.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it's still one of those things that it was just kind of like, ooh, convenient plot device, we can transfer Prime Spark easily now.
Well, that's all the Matrix ever was a MacGuffin, so...
Yes, piece of shit, metal box.
Jumpin' Gyros, Optimus sure learns a new body fast. What'd you expect? He changes them often enough. Insert drums here. Dun-dun-dun!
There actually was drums.
I know, that's why I said insert drums here.
Yeah. I was actually expecting Megatron to pipe in with that, but ended up being something about crap and tarantulas.
Yeah.
But, damn it, Megatron!
Optimus's hands are...
Let him speak. This is the best part of the show.
Soon enough, I will change my form. You insignificant worm.
Stupid-ass red dragon.
That's my favorite form.
No.
That's my favorite body. Why do you think I kept it through the next show?
Yeah, the next show, you're just basically almost a head.
At the end.
He was ahead of his time.
But I became optimal.
Yes. Oh, no, let's not go there.
Oh, spoiler.
Optimus's hands are bigger than your weapons, Megatron.
But mine are more powerful. I took down Optimus Prime with a... how shall I say it? Give me your face, Prime.
No.
Yes.
Yes. I'll take your face now.
Waspinator and Inferno Splat Alert.
What else is new there?
Inferno got it good.
Oh, yeah. I love his splat alerts.
Yeah.
He's getting them more frequently now, and Waspinator's getting them less and less.
Waspinator actually gets away with not being splatted at all in the next one.
Yeah.
That'd be true.
Yeah, true. I find myself going into Twitter talk with this next one. Optimus done need no guns against you, Rampage, because he just smacks him in the face.
I love the look on Rampage's face when Optimus appears. He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'll shoot him anyway.
Yeah, look at the size of this guy. This is just wrong.
He just looks up, 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 up. Okay, there's a face.
Well, seeing as Optimus is just ridiculously powerful, in retrospect, it probably would have made more sense to like kill off Quickstrike, kill off Inferno, and let Ravage stick around.
You mean Ravage,
because Ravage was just ridiculously powerful. He took out pretty much everybody in the few scant minutes that he was on screen. But you know, they had to kill him because he was just too powerful. But now you've got Optimus, who's just, again, way too powerful.
Yeah.
So what do? They take the base with them.
What I was going to say was cue the violin quartet or the violin trio, because that ship sure won't fly now with it going the Titanic route.
Snap in two, and Ascent falls underwater.
It was a pleasure playing with you, gentlemen, as they go into the sea.
Yes. And my final note is the most epic note of this episode. We're moving in.
And the last note of the episode.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it was epic.
I would say this episode was a pretty good continuation of the end of Agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see all the Preds, with the exception of Ravage, coming back, despite the fact that they all should have been dead. Every one of them.
Well, Quickstrike and Inferno. Rampage, sure, bring him back. He can't die. But the other two?
And Waspinator, yeah, because he got infected with Starscream's indestructible spark.
Well, you could use that as an excuse, sure, but...
I mean, technically you can use that excuse, but... Look at him. He functions with just a head.
He was ahead of his time.
With his hand.
Put hand over head now.
Let's pull a Mr. Freeze here.
He could facepalm himself all day.
And it wouldn't hurt?
Without the use of the rest of his body.
Mm-hmm.
But, there were some nice key points, though, in the episode, besides the great many awesome quotes that were brought up. Where Primal's voice becomes considerably deeper when he gets his new form, kind of sounding like Optimus Prime.
Puberty.
Yes, he hit massive puberty. He grew in such large proportions.
He says, "I'm now fully erect."
That's one large trans monkey.
Trans monkey? That's kind of gross. Anyways.
No. Not a tranny monkey. A trans monkey. There's a big difference.
Yeah, but he changes looks 4 times and, you know, never mind. but, it was nice to see Primal's pieces that he had on his arms used as deflector shields, which, if you notice... He never really uses those very much in the future. Like, he uses them to guard a couple things once or twice, but he doesn't use them.
Well, the only thing he really has to guard, I mean, obviously, is the Matrix, or Prime Spark.
Well, just build a wall around it.
Oh.
That's basically what his arm armor is what I'm looking for, and it just didn't come out. I'm sorry. It's what the arm armor is for. He's basically, you know, proclaiming. He should just carry around a sign that says, "Look at all the cool things the toy can do, kids." You know, he's doing it for the sake of selling the toy, not so much for the sake of the story.
And this is another issue. I wish they would have made a 100% accurate Optimal Optimus based on the cartoon version.
It is.
The toy isn't 100% accurate? No. It looks like it is.
If you look at it, his head... is so freaking small.
Okay, yeah, I will agree with that.
And the gun barrels should be able to fold underneath somewhere in that front so that they aren't sticking out so damn far, so that you can still have them look halfway decent.
The only problem with that is they come with this whole front piece of the toy, this whole thing that moves with the head, because it's a whole piece. It's not just his head that can...
Oh, I realize that.
The whole point of it was because they have missile launchers on it. That's the problem with the toy.
And this is one of the few Beast Wars toys that you can actually shoot your eye out with.
You'll shoot your eye out with that Transformer, Johnny!
Because when I got the bullets in there, to begin with, when I first purchased it, I could not figure out how to get the damn bullets out.
I can't
and shot myself in the face.
I don't know what the button is either, and Michael won't tell me.
How to get them out? You don't know how?
No, I don't want to know how, because I don't want to shoot my own eye out.
Okay, I thought you downloaded the instructions.
That little lever on the back?
Yeah.
With the two knobs on it and the little bar?
I got it, and it just went behind the desk.
Yes, I heard
the damn thing. Well, shit, there goes the missile. It's behind my desk now. I'll never find that till I move out of this apartment in God knows how many years.
That's
whoops.
That's why they give you four.
Well, there Michael he didn't have the other missiles. He only sent me one, and the one I have now is gone under the desk, behind the desk in the black hole that is behind the desk. So
if you've only got one, then...
You're screwed.
You might as well not have any, right?
Yeah, I know.
So who's the other one? but I like Tarantulas' little droids. They were like transmetal versions. This is the first time you see them since season one.
Yeah.
And they have their own little special insignia.
Do they?
Yes.
I saw the picture on the TF Wiki. I didn't notice it on the actual show. But
see, I did. I've gotten quite enough of the little information just because I've watched season 3 so many times that it is actually my favorite season of Beast Wars.
That's awesome. Oh.
I like at the end where Optimus Prime... when his spark gets returned to him, he reactivates, leans up, looks at Primal, and then he goes back to stasis lock.
Yeah, that... Now, that's another thing. The art for this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast will actually be Optimus holding the Matrix as right before he puts it back into Prime's chest. The alternate art, much like with the Starscream episode, will be... Optimus Prime's glowing eyes.
That'll be cool.
Yes, it will.
You know what's funny about the head sculpt of Optimus Prime and Optimal Optimus in this episode?
What's that?
It's exactly the same with a few minor tweaks to Primal's head.
Yeah.
Like, very minor.
Yeah.
I still love that quote at the beginning, though, where... Optimal and Megatron start arguing in the middle of the arc.
Oh, yeah, take it outside. You wouldn't dare fire in here.
It might upset history. We have 4 million years to clean you off the walls, Megatron. I might risk it.
See, considering that Megatron just tried to blow up Optimus Prime's head, I don't think he really cares about altering history.
Yeah.
You'd think he would be trying to provoke a firefight.
Oh, exactly. And then Rat Trap jumps in. Oh, for booting up cold, why don't you just shoot him? I'm trying not to resort to that, Rat Trap. Well, here, let me do it. Boom. And he's like, no! And he basically bitch slaps Rat Trap around.
Well, he just uses his big ass hand and slaps him, and he flies away.
You know, the one thing, and I really don't want to get too much into this as far as the toys go, because we're going to be talking about the toys, but I noticed about the toys, especially since I have it right here next to me, he has opposable thumbs on both his hands, which makes no sense.
Yeah, it helps him hold his gun, which you don't actually have.
Well, send it to me.
See, that's another thing. You never see Optimal use that gun.
Yeah.
No, he just uses the chest guns.
Well, yeah, he has his boob guns.
Wow. Talk about a third nipple. Does she really have a third nipple? Yeah, you need to look at that.
Look, it's got laser sight.
It's a functional nipple.
Lock, load, fire when ready.
It's a fiery nipple.
It's a fiery nipple. Oh, my God.
So you say there's a burning sensation around the nipple? No, I'm saying there's fire. Fire coming out the nipple is what I'm saying.
I just can't control it. Give him some preparation H.
As a opposed to preparation A through F.
We are creating the season 3 outtakes right now.
Right. Just put a little bit of baby powder on it and a little Vaseline. It'll feel much better in the morning. It'll be fine. So, anyway, yeah.
I think that's it for this episode.
To digress a little bit, I don't know where the hell we were going, but I was surprised to see that they moved the entire bridge of the Axelon into the volcano.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool feature to see them actually do, because it kept their main room that they were always in anyway.
The problem I have with this will come up with the third episode we'll be reviewing today in Changing of the Guard. If they move the entire bridge of the Axelon in this episode, why the fuck didn't they bring Sentinel with them?
Because Sentinel went down with the ship. It was in the core.
Right, there was that whole episode with Rat Trap the Ninja as he surfed his way down to the core.
I know that, but I don't ever remember Sentinel being in the core. I always remember him being in the main console part.
They controlled it, but it was actually inputted into the core because that's what Rat Trap had to press to deactivate it before he got hit with a massive cannon.
It's been a while since I've seen season 1, so okay, I'll give it to you.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but that's about it, except for the crispy ice cold slag quote that I liked so much. Ice cold slag.
It would have been cool to see them actually continue Beast Wars up until G1. Can you imagine that screwed up timeline?
Yes. Don't even go there.
I want them to go there.
No.
Bring back the original voice cast. Let's do it.
No.
Beast Machines didn't happen. That's an alternate timeline.
Shut up.
There's a lot of people who say that.
Well, I mean, I still like Beast Machines. Don't get me wrong. I would have liked to have seen them continue this for at least another season. There was so much more possibilities they could have done with the G1 characters. It's just that Hasbro cut them short and wanted to change gears.
Well, you know, kind of screw the rest of the cast. I think the Further Adventures of Waspinator on Earth with completely voiced by Scott McNeil would be an awesome show.
Sure, just give them back Dinobot and Waspinator and have them go back and forth on the planet trying to see who can rule who for the next 4 million years.
That would be interesting.
Last one standing gets to meet the Autobots.
Dun dun dun!
This game's not for you, kitty.
Cheater to Optimus! We got...
Now it's you and I, old friend.
Activating emergency transformation. Scanning now. Activating transformation sequence. Alert. Protoform X detected. Vector 9, 5, 8.
He's here.
Depth charge. Maximize!
Up next is Deep Metal. Original air date, November 1st, 1998. Written by Larry DiTilio. Jeez, Rhino, nice way to fuck up the booklet.
Losers. We need Shout Factory. Enough with this BS.
Are you done?
I don't know. Why don't you check back in 10 minutes?
In space, a Cybertronian ship with a mysterious occupant is tracking the lost Protoform X, the science experiment now known as Rampage. The ship is pulled into a wormhole and crashes on prehistoric Earth, where the pilot is reformatted and emerges as Depth Charge. Depth Charge and Rampage meet at the trade and trade blows. What is the lost history between these two bitter enemies? Slag the High Council.
Yes, slag them.
Slag them all to hell.
We don't care what they have to say. They're no longer important.
Yes. I as much as I really could care less about Rampage, and I will be saying that through the next two episodes, I found it very interesting when he stops and he looks up into the sky and he's like, "Ooh, Rampage remembers something or someone." I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought it was kind of inexplicable because it's like Death Charge isn't even in the same time yet, and yet he's like, "Ooh, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming for me." And it's like, well, what makes you think that? What, you know, you just got a feeling in the back of your head that somebody's floating around 9 million years from now who wants to come back in time to find you?
Somebody's coming. Somebody tasty.
It always interests me how the scanners pick up the life forms and replicates them. I've always found that really cool. I found the original opening Beast Wars two-parter of them going into the little chamber thing. I found that cool. Especially when we haven't seen one underwater. The underwater scan is very awesome, I thought.
Well, this is the first time that we didn't get an alt mode hint before the scan.
Oh, yes, normally, you did.
Yes, you
almost
did.
Then, oh, you saw a manta ray fly by before the...
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, I must have missed that because I
also, there's a hint to his beast form, or his vehicle form. Look at his Starhopper.
Yep.
It's exactly how his metal form is. When he got hit with the blast, it altered his superstructure to take on that.
Yeah, they never really explain what that time warp was. It's just
He was following the trail into the past and then into the same way the
Maximals followed
back there, and he hit the transwarp signal.
The other thing, convenient transwarp, you know.
Oh, yes, it was very convenient.
Floating through space.
But the only thing I can put together with that is that maybe he came through a different part, not hit by Cybertron, like one of the satellites somewhere else in the galaxy, and ended up intercepting it on his way back to the past, like one of the residual shockwaves.
Well, that would kind of explain why he got transmetallized on his way through, but it wouldn't, you know, explain that, you know, as far as if that's how he got through time, if that's the same, residual transwarp that the Axelon and the Nemesis went through, then,
I think it's one of those things where
you get transmetallized, that's the question.
Well, true, but I think it's one of those things where you have to just do suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, I suppose. The writing in this series is so well done that you don't normally have to suspend your belief.
True.
Suspend disbelief.
And normally we wouldn't. Well, see, normally I think we would if we weren't reviewing it. So, I don't know. Because normally if somebody's normally watching this cartoon, they're not doing it for review purposes. They're doing it to enjoy it. And even though, according to Steve, there are some horrible episodes like The Low Road, which is just awesome.
No.
If by awesome, every episode shouldn't be watched by anybody, then yeah. Then.
The low road is awesome.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's hell in a can.
No, it's not.
It's a can we don't want to open.
Why, universe, hate Waspinator?
You were born.
Waspinator has no room to bitch in this episode because he doesn't get splatted once.
Yes, he does. Oh, no, he doesn't. No, okay. No. The why universe hate Waspinator line came after Megatron sent him out to do something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Waspinator doesn't like to work anymore. He likes to mooch off the system.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised he gets any lines in this episode at all.
Mm. Dang, Cheetor never gets a break, man. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of Cheetor never getting a break.
What?
I'm going there.
What?
Going where?
Pussy.
Oh. Oh, damn.
He said he hates water.
Oh. His
jets got jammed. He didn't know what to do. I mean,
he's
sitting on a big hard rock.
Reminds me of the
God damn you.
Do you ever use mute?
No. Sorry.
If I have to blow my nose before the record, then you have to plug your face when you.
Well,
what
the hell? We'll fix it in the editing.
Bullshit.
No, you won't. You never do.
I don't edit anymore. This is all Steve's job now, so I'll make sure he fixes it in the editing.
To hell with you. Anyways.
You got a new computer and you haven't figured out how to edit on it yet?
Let's not go there. Let's just not go there.
I am Batmanta.
I'm really getting sick of Rampage already. Just because of the whole... Oh. Because of the whole same tune over and over again, I want to feel your pain and terror and all that bullshit.
That's not the only thing he wants to feel. That's why Depth Charge is here, to put him out of his misery. He's like the twisted version of like Bane meets like Scarecrow. And then Depth Charge is like Batman coming to wipe his ass on the floor.
Talk about a slippery fish.
Squish, squish, squish. He's going to go get crabs.
I think it's... God.
Pineapple under the sea.
No. I don't care. No, stop. I don't care if you make Team Rocket references from now till the end of the show. You will not ever say that ever again on this podcast. Ever again. No.
I think I touched a knife.
No. It's
Ooh,
nice.
A rampage under the sea.
It's nice.
No charge, no pants.
It's nice to see the Cybertronian adventures in flashbacks.
Yes, I do like seeing that.
The what?
Cybertronian adventures.
Cybertronian adventures. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because they flash when Primal's telling why Depth Charge and Rampage, they flash back to the
Colony Omicron.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Well,
showing that X got hungry and decided to eat all of Depth Charge's friends, and
I actually said my note wrong because I was kind of making. I didn't realize this now, but I was kind of making a pun. On Activision, it's nice to see the Cybertron adventures in flashbacks. Fucking Activision. Not that anyone would buy War for Cybertron for the Wii, but anyway. What's wrong with him? Probably rust.
You know what this has turned into? Depth Charge, I mean?
Yeah.
Because Rat Trap is liking jumping back and forth. This is the new Dinobot. I mean, essentially it is.
Yeah.
He's filling that gap, plus he and Rat Trap are at constant wit's end with each other.
Yeah.
Bouncing back, witty banter.
Yeah.
See, I think that Depth Charge is just a dick, kind of.
I mean, he's more so a dick than Dinobot was.
Yeah,
granted.
Dinobot, at least they were almost playful back and forth. Even up to the point where he died, they were still kind of playful back and forth. Whereas Depth Charge is just like, get out of here, kid, you bother me. You
know? Yeah.
And he's like,
you crazy kids, get off my lawn!
Well, Not quite to that point, no. But yeah, he's like, all right, you guys all suck. And, you know, he just has open disdain for Primal.
Well, he'll reiterate that next episode.
Yeah.
And my final note, so we can actually move on to somebody else and I can stop talking, is, wow, I really hate Depth Charge's backpack.
The backpack.
His whole...
Is it like a tail?
No, not his tail. In robot form, the wing things on his back and everything else. It just reminds me of a toy. How toys have backpacks on them.
It's a kibble.
I'm fine with it.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's like his shield.
Whatever.
At Michael. Least he doesn't look like, I don't know, Rampage.
with all the legs hanging off?
Yes.
No. Some kibble is just, you know...
It's meant to be.
It's unforgivable kibble.
Yes, it is. So,
at least he doesn't have lips on, like Depth Charge. Depth Charge has big lips on his face, or on his chest.
On his chest.
Well, it could be worse. He could have 8 eyes on his stomach.
I could deal with that.
Anyways, yeah. Michael, what do you have for this?
His hugs.
Oh my god.
Oh
damn.
That sounds like a bad pop song.
Come here, X. I've got a present for you.
Michael, what do you have for this episode?
Yeah, we start off with Inferno getting a lot of lines. More lines here than I've heard him say. Yeah, aside from Yes Royalty or For the Colony, more lines than I've ever heard him say. Where he's basically having dialogue with Depth Charge. Depth Charge, I'm sorry. And dialogue with Rampage. Before Rampage bails on him.
Right.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to go here, and you're going to go there, and then I'm going to do this, and then you're going to do that, and ha-ha! And he gets down there, and nothing goes as planned.
Because this is the only time I really feel sorry for Inferno.
I agree.
Well, yeah.
On top of that, they don't start firing on him until Optimus has already left the base.
Adding insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice, though, that, you know, if they're going to keep Rampage around, you know, since he doesn't die, you know, they're at least going to give him something to do. So they
now
added...
he's got his counterpart.
Exactly. He's got a nemesis of his very own.
A banjo playing platypus? Wait, Perry the banjo playing platypus?
Kirkus.
I'm sorry.
Kirkus, yeah. Sorry, I can't take your incessant cross cartoon, whatever. As I was saying, he gets impaled. Woo!
About Yay. Time.
Well, well, you know, it's neat because you don't normally see that in a kid's television show. It's like, and despite the fact that he's got this huge spike going through his chest, it still doesn't stop him. He keeps coming.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say about my cross cartoon references. It's all your fault because you kept saying Nemesis.
That's Doofenshmirtz's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Transformers continuity, Nemesis has a complete different connotation.
True, but you're using it in the good versus evil thing.
Curse you, Perry the Platypus.
No! Curse you, Perry! Wait, is that the Balgeetles?
Plastic rifle.
It's sitting over there like, what the fuck are they talking about?
All I'm hearing is you talking about butt beetles and something else, so...
Blah, 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 blah. What?
Blah, blah, blah.
So, yeah, anyway, the whole episode ends with Rampage blowing up his ship. As they're very quick to take out the ships.
Well, that's because Rampage is like, oh no, you came, you're going to be stranded just like me.
If anything, Rampage should have jumped in that ship and took the hell off.
Rampage doesn't want to because he has more fun torturing people that can't kill him.
He could have flown back to any, you know, colony and done that.
Yeah, but what's the point?
There's a lot more
people. He purposely wanted to torment an already damaged soul. Besides that, Megatron still had half his spark, so he'd kind of still be a little bit screwed. No matter where he is, it's like a remote control that keeps on buzzing.
Not if he's under the water.
It works.
Well, Megatron was like, whoa, where'd he go? He's gone. He's disappeared. He's not on my scanners. But he didn't immediately reach for the spark chamber to squish it a little.
Well, that's because he's like, where the hell is he going to go?
Well, for all he knew, he already got in the ship and took off.
For all he knew, the ship was already destroyed.
He could have gotten in the ship and attacked Megatron.
And Megatron would have shot his balls off because Megatron blew away Prime's face.
Well,
okay, I need Megatron to say the whole give me your face thing.
Fine. If Rampage were to come after me, I would tell him, give me your face. Yes. And then I would cut out his spark and make him eat it with a spoon.
Or a spork. And some fava beans and a nice Chianti. But that's all I got.
Okay, what about you, Steve?
This was the first episode to have underwater scenes.
Which I didn't even notice until I saw the bubbles. I was like, holy shit, they're underwater.
I love that. That was actually pretty cool to actually see underwater. They've gone 3 seasons and finally get the technology to go underwater. But none of the other guys can go under there. Even the Transmetals can't go under there. Only Depth Charge and Rampage. Which leads me to another problem later in Season 3 with a certain tarantula being able to build an entire underwater monorail system. But that's something to be seen later.
Yes.
Yes. There's no way that Rampage would just poof disappear from scanners. That's just retarded.
If you're underwater.
Yeah, that's just a plot screw up. Somebody was writing it. They must have been on something when they wrote it. Completely forgot what, you know, was going on. Probably took a break, coffee break, came back, was like, where was I? Oh, yes. We don't know where Rampage is at. Okay, let's go on.
Yeah, that's okay. We can live with that.
Yes, but, yeah, as for the other stuff, pretty much covered it. The banter between Primal and Depth Charge was pretty cool, though, where Primal's telling Depth Charge, X is not alone, he's a Predacon now, under Megatron's control, there are 6 of them, and then Depth Charge looks back at him and says, gotta hand it to you, Primal, when you screw up, you do it big time, but thanks for the tip, and then he leaves.
I like that. When you screw up, you do it big.
And he also says, well, this crew needs something.
Next episode.
Oh, that's in the next? Oh, I thought it was in this one. Okay. So should we move on to the next episode then?
Yes, Amasa.
Quickly, we must pursue Waspinator.
Out of my way. I got a job to finish.
No! Waspinator has the Sentinel Control Module. If Megatron gets his hands on
That's your war. I got my own.
Perhaps you should remember what it means to be a Maximal, if you dare call yourself that again.
Save your voice box, Bolt. He's get what he wants.
Come on, let's get after Waspinator.
Finally up today is Changing of the Guard, and this episode, original air date was November 8th, 1998, written by Evan Summers. Okay, Rhinox.
I think that was a typo.
No.
I mentioned that in the TF Wiki that it was wrong.
Evan Summers.
I don't know.
It's correct.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
bouncing off Wiki and what I watched earlier with my notes. So,
What was I? Hold on.
You're probably looking at Steve Sack. Or Sacks.
What an awful...
Directed by...
Name. I can't imagine going through grade school with a name like that. Or
Sacks, yeah.
So can I get to the episode description, please?
Yes, go on.
Rhinox is unable to connect Maximal technology to the ancient Autobot computer systems, Teletran 1. Rattrap goes searching for Sentinel, the Maximal's computer automated weaponry defense system, now at the bottom of the sea. The murky depths prove to be a dangerous place for Rattrap. Hey, look, a blackface joke.
What?
Michael, you should have caught on to that, considering you were on Tooncast episode 23, which was Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I know, but I don't remember where in this episode.
In the very beginning, when Rhinox is trying to hook something up, it explodes and his face is all black. He's got soot all over his face.
Oh, like a Looney Tunes moment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't notice that. Maybe I was looking somewhere else.
I understand the referral now.
Yes.
I see where the problem was there with the writing. It says written by Evan Summers, whereas the apparently there's only one M in Summers.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
One M, two M's. We all prefer triple D's, so it doesn't matter. Anyways.
Double for me.
Only double. More than a handful means you have to use two hands.
And then that's too much.
What?
Okay.
What's wrong with you, boy?
Let's not...
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
No. Cat toy. I love Cheetor. Cheetor is awesome. And did you notice that they use in the little flashback of him thinking about it, they use the original Cheetor design for the cat?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
So essentially you're looking at the quote, "What are you grinning about, litter butt? I was just thinking, with you inside, this make a swell cat toy."
Carny music.
Is that the underwater music?
Yeah, yes. One rat trap.
And it's funny that Silverbolt hears it through the intercom, and then he's like, what's going on?
When that scene first happens, because it doesn't start happening until Rat Trap starts moving the pedal thing, and he gets the hang of it, I thought it was just music that they put in there for...
For the episode.
For the episode, yeah. For that just part. And then all of a sudden... It's getting feedback on Silverbolt's walkie-talkie, which that's another thing that pisses me off. They have inner ear comlinks or chest comlinks or leg comlinks or crotch comlinks. Why the hell does he have a damn walkie-talkie?
Because the regular system was down. He couldn't contact anything underwater. Apparently the same glitch that hit Rampage not being able to be found hit Rat Trap not being able to use his comlink.
I thought it was because he couldn't turn on any external systems.
That was true, too.
He's like in stealth mode.
Oh, okay.
Despite the fact that he has a heads-up display.
Yeah. Why do I feel like I'm watching an episode of Sequest DSV when I watch this one? I love Sequest. I love Sequest, but this so reminded me of that show.
That was a good show. I liked it.
Oh, it is a good show.
Because of Ted Raimi.
Well, and Jonathan Brandis, but anyway.
God.
Hey!
And you got the Tiger Beat cut out up on your wall? Or...
Beat. No way it could be this easy. Stop jinxing yourself, Rat Trap.
Yes, and the big eel comes out and jumps in his face, and he starts, like, cowering and beating on the glass. Like,
he's flailing, like,
He's like, I'm scared of fish.
Mm. That was funny. I laughed.
I laughed at that, too.
I did, too. What? This is very interesting. This is a very serious note here, and very topical to this episode. Why does Megatron all of a sudden have such an interest in Sentinel? It makes no sense. Granted, it would have been his advantage if the Maximals couldn't get it back, but still, all of a sudden, we've gone, since season one that they've had Sentinel, and it doesn't take him until season three that he gets all interested in it?
I think he wanted it primarily so that the Maximals couldn't have it.
Yeah, I think that was more so his ultimate goal.
Yeah.
That and he could protect the base was something that the Maximals themselves invented that he got his ass kicked with numerous times.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the Maximals aren't going to be attacking anything. They're in full-on defense mode. Without a shield, that's all they can do.
True. And they even go so much as say that in this episode. Waspinator 1, Doggybot Zippo. Come on!
Waspinator 1. Did I actually watch this episode?
I watched it earlier.
What happened during this episode? Because,
it's basically a big... It's like a rat race to get this...
Yeah, rat traps underwater, and then
when they get them out, I mean, it's just constant. Somebody's knocking somebody down, shooting somebody over, and then the next group is grabbing the device, and then ultimately it ends up with the Predacons, obviously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's face it, depth charge gets in the way.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that yet.
It didn't look much like depth charge was saving anybody's butt.
No, he was still doing his own thing.
Yeah, it looked like he was thinking, well, I wonder what they're up to. It sounds like they're getting their asses handed to them, and then he kind of runs into them.
Yeah.
It's not like he was saving anybody. Oh, look, I drove off Waspinator, but you know, he's carrying the thing that we were trying to get.
Rat Trap Pinball. Cheetor was right. It would make an excellent cat toy.
Ding, 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 ding. Tilt.
Tilt. There always has to be the tilt.
In his eyes.
Yes. Okay, that power dive was just awesome, and also Waspinator Splat Alert.
I like that scene. Waspinator having a good day, not get shot once. And then he's, you know, of course, down on his luck.
Yeah.
Of course.
It wouldn't be a Waspinator-centric, you know, Splat Alert if he didn't get blown up at least once.
True. Fucking depth charge. Why is he always getting in the way and stuff? Asshole.
That is exactly what we just said, yeah.
Yes, I know, but again,
you're catching up now.
Right. Yeah. And my final note was, no! Megatron has Sentinel! Damn it. And Steve has to say it.
Say what?
Say what?
Face palm.
Do I actually have to?
I can't actually get the big red button to turn it on.
Do I actually have to give you the line so you can just say it back to us in Megatron's voice?
Sentinel online.
There you go. All right, so Steve, what did you think of this one?
It was interesting to see another Rat Trap-centric episode for once, being that he hasn't actually had any decent, you know, Rat Trap times. I like where Rampage came up and tried to pop Rat Trap until Depth Charge intercepted and basically kicked him out. It's like, nope, this is my fight. And then they, of course, ensue hell upon each other. Rampage actually uses his Rampage Terrorize.
Oh, yeah.
In which he never does before, and he might possibly after, but I sincerely doubt it.
And it should also be noted that this is the last fairly Rat Trap-centric episode of the entire show.
Yeah, pretty much from here on out, it's either going to be, you know, it changes from episode to episode. Cheetor will be getting more so the spotlight than a lot of the other Maximals besides Primal.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Depth Charge will get a little bit more time, being that he's the new guy on the block. But
ugh.
It seems like the older they are, the less likely they are to get a
That's not so much the case when we get to Beast Machines, but yeah, you're right.
For Beast Wars, that's pretty much how the rest of it's going.
Yeah, true.
Oh, poor Rhinox doesn't get much love at all.
He gets some.
He should have turned Transmetal, and then people would have gave a crap more.
Yeah, see? I've been saying that all along.
Well, even in Beast Machines, they spend the entire series looking for him, and then toward the end, he's like, here I am! You know.
I trainered.
Well, yeah. Dark Designs.
So, Michael, what did you have for Changing of the Guard, the final episode today?
Just a few things. The Predacons got a spy drone, which, you know, we haven't actually seen since Scorponok died.
Yes, this was very reminiscent of it, minus the beastie-looking form to it.
The little bee. Yeah, this one looks like a little ship or something.
Well, it looks like the bee, just without all the beast, you know, aesthetics to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, I miss Scorponok. Nobody else is going to chime in and be like, I like Scorponok too.
He's dead. He needs to stay dead. Stupid half-retarded moron always dropping shit on himself.
Yeah, I guess he should stay dead, but Laserbeak, they could have brought him. Anyway, I like the damage model for Silverbolt.
Damage models.
I do. Whenever they trash somebody, when they do it really good, I mean, it's one thing just to, you know, make them look like they got hurt. Like, I'm on the ground and I'm holding my head and going, ow, I'm hurt. But no, this is like, you've just been trashed and your arm is off, you know? It's just his flesh wound, your arm's off, you know, that type of thing. I like that. I always like it when they go the extra mile and just, you know, completely mess somebody up. Because, you know, as far as 3D modeling goes, that's a whole new model. That's not easy to do.
No, because they just duplicate the one and then they just get to say, okay, remove this, put a little glitch here, damage this. Just remove this, damage it, it, burn it, fire.
But apparently somebody put a lot of effort in building this completely unique 3D model of Silverbolt being damaged, and he's just fine a minute later. So
he forgot.
I know. It's like, I got better. She turned me into a newt.
Better.
I got better. I cracked myself up. This is sad. By the time you get to the end, did Depth Charge officially join the team, or is he still like, yeah?
He's more so on their team. He'll help them if he's around, but he's still going to keep with his primary objective.
I hate to equate him to this, because the person that I'm going to equate him to is so much more awesomer than he is, but Depth Charge is pretty much Batman when it comes to the Justice League. He's not a full-time member, but he's there when they need help, and they will need help.
I was actually thinking like Tigatron in the beginning.
Tigatron was more of a loner, but he was more of a one of those guys that one of the PETA guys.
PETA guys.
Wait, PETA has men on it? I thought it was all women.
It's people for the eating of tasty animals.
Oh my god!
Don't you know the only way they can get people to actually pay attention to those stupid things is by having a woman's boobs on them?
Yeah, you know what's sad too is I will find those commercials and little short videos online and then eat steak while I'm watching the boobs. It was like, oh yeah, arr, nom nom nom.
Take that,
that's right. In your face, people, for the ethical treating of animals. Actually, I meant to say people for the eating of tasty animals and it came out with their actual name. I don't know what the hell happened.
Wow.
Is it actually people for the ethical treatment of animals?
No, it's people eating testicles, always.
Okay.
I don't think that the prime rib is from the nether regions of the.
Oh. No.
But they'd like to think so.
I don't like to think so.
Okay, so do we have any other notes on what the hell's the name of this damn episode? changing of the
guard.
Yeah.
I'm good. Steve might have something.
They had that scene where Inferno knocked the tree down in front of Rat Trap.
Yeah.
And Silverbolt. His comlink was on the wrong side.
Oh.
I did not notice.
And something minor. It was just a technical glitch. Other than that, I would have to say this episode was pretty good, despite the fact that, for the most part, Sentinel doesn't even get brought back up again until other victories.
Yeah, I was actually thinking this is a bit of a throwaway.
It pretty much was. It was, we don't know what to write about, so we'll write about Sentinel. Something that we really haven't talked about since the agenda, but we really don't plan on using again until other victories for its, 5-second,
a MacGuffin, you say?
Yes, yeah. Pretty much.
Which is kind of sad, because Ian James...
Sentinel had so much potential.
Well, not only did Sentinel have so much potential, but,
so much.
What I mean to say, if Megatron would stop interrupting me, you stupid red dragon asshole, is that it's a shame that Sentinel pretty much dies come other victories, because Ian James Corlett did such an awesome job with the voice, I thought.
You know, that's something I thought was interesting, is that he does the voice, and you know that he doesn't just regulate a computerized voice for Sentinel. He actually gets excited when there's something to be excited about, like when Transmutate was in danger. You know, it's like, oh, holy shit, things are breaking, and he's doing it as Sentinel. And I'm surprised that he didn't give a little bit more personality to Sentinel when Megatron, you know, kind of...
Give it like a darker tone.
Yeah, like, or sarcastic, like, or something, like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Sentinel, now that I'm evil, now like, online.
Like, yeah,
take something. That, Maximal Scum.
Now I have the bullhorn surrounded by guns. Screw you, Rhinox.
In your face.
In your ass. Well.
Okay, and we are going to go to some quotes, maybe some episode audio, and then the outro. We will be back after this.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
Here's quote number one.
Stay close, Maximal. It's time to transform and roll out.
Quote number two.
Jumping gyros. Optimus sure learns a new body fast.
Yeah, well, what do you expect? He changes them often enough.
And quote number three.
Stand and fight, Vermin!
Oh, yeah? Shrivel up and die, eh?
So, to end that dark mess of a hole that was our final episode in this episode of the podcast here, I kind of equaled it off with, we'll be back after this. So, Michael, did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Oh, I had just noticed that in the last episode, we had Rampage and Death Charge actually going underwater, and it was like, woo, underwater, cool. But this episode, the changing of the guard toward the beginning was seemed to me like the writers were trying to figure out a way of getting somebody other than those two underwater. And here we have Rat Trap in a bubble. You know, now he's got the means to go underwater and a reason to go underwater. So we have somebody other than our two swimmers doing it. It was neat, probably a little unnecessary. You know, maybe they could have asked Death Charge, with pretty pleased with Sugar on it, to go do that for them. But, yeah. That's about all I had.
Okay, then. So, thank you for joining... What?
Thoughts?
What thoughts?
You're full of crap, Wilson!
Oh.
Never mind.
Well, you tell me that every time you critique a podcast episode, so anyways... Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFU and Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. And I guess I can bring this back. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed... Oh, wait. Do we want to pimp anything else out for...
our UK affiliate.
Yes, UK affiliate, yes. Blogomatic3000.com. ThisWeekInGeek.net and everybody else. I don't know.
Everybody. Everybody in the universe. Oh, which reminds me, we didn't play the Scott McNeil clip on the last episode or two.
It was in the ATTF post-BotCon show. It started it. Which technically we should have
put it there. But...
Yeah, we should have put it in episode 15, but we forgot. So... Yeah, anyway, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast and wish you'll join us next time. We'll be reviewing three more episodes of Beast Wars Season 3, those being Cutting Edge and the Feral Scream two-parter. Woohoo! I love that two-parter.
Woohoo!
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with Pecan Court Michael and Steve Megatron, and the only reason why I said their names for them is because they can never get it right themselves.
In your face, you, Blanchard.
Close the show, Megatron.
Boil 'em, mash 'em, stick 'em in a stew. Oh, and give me your face.
Until next time, and now, Scott McNeil.
Happy at last.
All right, interview away.
Oh. If you could say something, I don't know, podcasty, like, this is the GeekCast Radio Network, and I am Scott McNeil.
All right.
In any voice you choose?
Any voice. Ooh, I could try my own. Whatever that sounds like. Especially seeing as I have to say. GeekCast is specifically geared towards what?
Geeks.
Transformers?
We have a Beast Unleashed podcast, specifically for Transformers Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm.
We have a G1 podcast. We have podcasts for G.I. Joe, all sorts of things.
So it's GeekCast.
GeekCast Radio Network.
Oh, where's Benito? Finally get on microphone. One more time, Bug. I told you to move.
All right. Don't get your knickers in a twist there, lizard lips.
All right, citizens, stand back. I will say, you're listening to GeekCast with pretty much everyone from the entire universe. It's the Scott McNeil thing.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Or something like that.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.